Hey, Jared Morris here. If you know anything about Rainmaker Digital and Copyblogger, you may know that we produce incredible live events. Well, some would say that we produce incredible live events as an excuse to throw great parties, but that's another story. We've got another one coming up this October in Denver. It's called Digital Commerce Summit, and it is entirely focused on giving you the smartest ways to create and sell digital products and services. You can find out more at rainmaker.fm/summit. That's rainmaker.fm/summit. We'll be talking about Digital Commerce Summit in more detail as it gets closer. But for now, I'd like to let a few attendees from our past events speak for us.
For me, it's just hearing from the experts. I mean, this is my first industry event, so it's awesome to learn new stuff and also get confirmation that we're not doing it completely wrong where I work.
The best part of the conference for me is being able to mingle with people and realize that you have connections with everyone here. It feels like LinkedIn Live. I also love the parties after each day, being able to talk to the speakers, talk to other people over here. First time, people have been here before.
I think the best part of the conference for me is understanding how I can service my customers a little more easily. Seeing all the different facets and components of various enterprises then helps me pick the best tools.
Hey, we agree. One of the biggest reasons we host a conference every year is so that we can learn how to service our customers, people like you, more easily. And here are just a few more words from folks who have come to our past live events.
It's really fun. I think it's a great mix of beginner information and advanced information, so I'm really learning a lot and having a lot of fun.
Conference is great, especially because it's a single track conference where you don't get distracted by like which session should I go to and am I missing something.
I mean, the training and everything, the speakers have been awesome, but I think the coolest aspect for me has been connecting with both people who are putting it on and then the other attendees.
So that's it for now. There's a lot more to come on Digital Commerce Summit, and I really hope to see you there in October. Again, to get all the details and the very best deal on tickets, head over to rainmaker.fm/summit. That's rainmaker.fm/summit.
And now, enjoy The Missing Link with Jabez LeBret and Micah Gadia.
On today's episode of The Missing Link, we have an incredibly amazing, I mean, outstanding opportunity. I am stoked that we
Absolutely.
Have another LinkedIn
Absolutely.
Employee insider that's going to share with us some of the secret sauce about company pages, about establishing more than just your profile. And she is an amazing content writer. You've probably read some of her stuff. She knows several of our guests that we've had on this show. We are so excited to have Alex Rin from LinkedIn here at the show today. We also have a big announcement coming next week. So we have a huge announcement next week with the insufferable, I don't even know if I need to say the rest of his name. Sean Jackson is joining us next week on next week's episode. So do stay tuned for that and tune in. Some big, 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 big announcements. Super excited about that. And that's going to be a conversation in the group. So as always, we know our group is super, super valuable. And Micah, can you kind of walk us through how to get into this kind of speakeasy group that we've got going on here?
I would love to. I would love for anyone and everyone to join us that's ready to get their LinkedIn marketing to the next level. So if you're in the continental United States, you will take out your mobile device and you'll text us at 41411. And that keyword is going to be MyLink, MyLink. You'll take out that space because it always autocorrects. And if you're outside of the continental United States or you'd like to just email us, you can email us at missinglink@rainmaker.fm and we will get you hooked up right away.
All right. We're going to get a quick message from our sponsor, and then we're going to come right back to Alex Rin. We'll talk to you soon.
The Missing Link is brought to you by the Rainmaker platform, the complete website solution for content marketers and online entrepreneurs. Find out more and take a free 14-day test drive at rainmaker.fm/platform.
Welcome back. My name is Jabez LeBret, host of The Missing Link, and I have the beautiful, fantastic, amazing Micah Gadia on
Hi.
The show, as always, our steadfast co-host extraordinaire. And today, our guest, holy criminy, Alex Rin from LinkedIn. Alex, welcome.
Hi, Alex Rin.
Yes. Did I say Ryan again?
You did.
And I said Ryan like 15 times 20 seconds ago.
It's a total common mistake. Actually, I like specified when I graduated from college that it was Ryan, and then they said Ryan when I walked across the stage. So it happens.
I get it. Ryan winds with win. Well, yeah. That's a tongue twister Ryan. There.
Ryan. The new coffee shop down the street from where I just moved has been calling me James, and I haven't corrected them yet. close enough. You got most of the letters.
Solid effort. A for effort.
You know, you'd think we were talking in pre-show here about wine tasting and drinking and happy hour, and it seems that maybe I went a little early. I don't know. I guess I probably shouldn't have been chugging the Carlo Rossi before we started, but today's episode, enough about wine. It is. We are talking about company pages. We'll have to talk some about content. For those of you that don't, Alex, for those who don't know, so Sean Callahan, who works with Alex, highly recommended that we have her on our show, and our very own regular guest.
Yeah, John Nemo also highly recommended Alex. And Alex was totally, thank you so much for just your quick response. Of course, I'd love to be on your show.
Yeah, of course. Always happy to talk about LinkedIn, talk about, you know, how we built our always on content strategy, talk about what we're doing and all the testing and the things that we've learned. I feel like, you know, I'm just really excited to share.
Cool.
So before we jump into the company pages, is there anything new that you are testing that we should know about? Now you have to think, what can I share?
I can't share like our product roadmap per se. But in terms of like A/B testing, it's just something that I'll get into that more when I talk about, you know, the value of company and showcase pages. But I mean, we A/B test everything. We think that visual is the new headline. So, I mean, we use eye-catching rich imagery, but I work really closely with our demand gen team, and we run a bunch of tests on background color to branded versus non-branded to verbiage. So like ebook versus guide, like what resonates more with people, frequencies of posting, different times, posts with links, posts without links, all that kinds of stuff. So we're constantly testing.
Do you guys publish that material anywhere?
I'm glad you asked, because that's a perfect plug for my next ebook. I'm working on an ebook now. That's basically like the insider's guide to LinkedIn advertising, and it showcases all of the tests that we've run, best practices with like bidding. We have someone from our operational side to talk about like campaign naming conventions and tracking codes and stuff
when
like
does
that
come out? Could you write faster? Like, when did you get this?
I'm doing my best. We almost finalized with the copy. It's probably going to be, I'm going to say early September.
I can wait.
Yeah. We take a lot of time and we put a lot of time and effort into the creative aspect. And actually, it's one of my favorite parts of making an ebook. I really like that, like the concepting and the creative and the back and forth and the mood boards, et cetera. So we like to take our time with that stuff.
That is awesome.
Cool. And that's actually not too far from now.
No, not at all.
Yeah, so when your show publishes, it'll be close.
I mean, I wanted it tomorrow, but I mean, I guess I could wait. So that's exciting. Well, I'm looking forward to that. That's going to be awesome, because I think that information is really valuable. And for those that are listening that don't know what A/B testing is, it's not talking about blood type. We're talking about where you deliver up two different one change usually you make one change to something, and then every other user gets the different version. So half your users see version A, the other half of your users see version B, and then you can take that data and you can extrapolate insights as to what's working and what's not. So when she said testing out the verbiage of whether or not you call something a certain word, the color, button placement, those are all things that you would do in an A/B split test, and I really highly advise you to go look up more information about it. It is valuable. Alex, is LinkedIn going to allow the user to start doing any A/B split testing? Because like, I'd love to be able to split test my Pulse articles.
Yeah, I mean, well, as a company, you can, and that's using direct sponsored content. So that's like a dark post.
Ooh, dark post. This sounds really. So talk to us about this. So what?
Right.
Can you give us an overview of company pages, like. I got to be honest, it's not something I've paid a ton of attention to over the years. It's something I've always focused more on the personal side. And so it's one of the reasons we're really excited to have you on. I don't know what I don't know. So maybe you can educate myself and the audience on the company pages and why it even matters.
Yeah, of course. So first of all, there's 7.2 million company pages on LinkedIn. So you're in good company there. And they really just present like an amazing opportunity for you to tell your company's story and engage with your followers and share career opportunities, really just driving word of mouth at scale. And for millions of professionals, the LinkedIn company page is a place to explore companies you're interested in, get the latest company updates and industry news, learn about job opportunities. But essentially, it's where you're catching the eye of prospective customers and building these one-on-one relationships with existing customers by featuring relevant content. And then showcase pages.
Relevant content on your company page. We'll talk about that in a second. So showcase pages are a little different.
Yeah, they're a little bit different. So they serve the same purpose, but it's for a specific business line or a product or initiative within your company. So like we have our LinkedIn company page, and then we have LinkedIn talent solutions, sales solutions, marketing solutions. That's the one that I manage. So basically, it's creating dedicated pages for different aspects of your business with their own messages and their own audience. Yeah.
I like it. So one of them
is
the company as a whole. The other one is individualized services or products that you're offering.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's all about personalization, right?
I do. I like that. So right. talk to us about content, because we talk a lot about content on the Pulse. Excuse me. We talk a lot about content on the Pulse Network.
Yeah.
What does one do with a company page from a content perspective?
So I think that you should share links to, you know, your latest and greatest white papers, ebooks, case studies, industry articles, helpful how-to content, super bright visuals, because as I've said before, as we say at LinkedIn Marketing Solutions, visuals the new headline. We want to be the thumb stopper in the feed. So that's a really important aspect of it. And really, you know, focusing on not just talking about yourself all the time. I think that's kind of a non-obvious tip, but finding articles from other credible sources so that, you know, I think there's a 4-1-1 rule that basically says that every time, for every single piece of content you share about yourself or your organization, you should share an update from another source. And most importantly, share 4 pieces of content written by others. So
Wow. You're
kind of building your thought leadership and your credibility by pointing to other people that are supporting your theory or kind of talking about the same thing. So that, you know, you're not always just being super self-promotional, because no one likes that.
No. And this is coming directly from someone, by the way, who happens to have access to all of the data that talks about this stuff. So I just like to preface that some of the stuff you're talking about, I know, is a data-driven answer. It's not just that I think it's a good idea, like it is. Like, I'm with you 100%. You shouldn't only be promoting yourself. But I also know that in the back of your head, you've been working at this for years, and you kind of have a general sense of, I think, the direction that things should go. And why you pick the numbers you pick are probably more purposeful than not, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Which is good.
Yeah.
I was looking up my company in a clean search browser on Google. And when I type in my company name, and we're a marketing agency, our LinkedIn company page is number 5.
Mm-hmm.
On the first
page. Yeah, LinkedIn has a really high domain authority. Yeah.
But I mean, and that's like, My company does this stuff. So like the fact that you can get that high and we are already really active on keeping all of the control of all the information is really impressive. And so that's another reason why, you know, this audience, people need to understand these company pages do matter and they are getting found. You know, people are coming to them. So you said dark posts earlier. What on earth is a dark post? Is this like some sort of like secret ninja thing that you do?
There's a horse.
Yeah, is this like a special Delta Force thing that
No. So I'll back up. So we have LinkedIn sponsored content, which allows you to publish relevant content in the feed, reach a targeted audience of professionals beyond your LinkedIn company page followers. And then direct sponsored content is what I was talking about, the quote unquote dark posting. It's a feature of sponsored content, which basically allows you to share content in the feed, giving you the ability to personalize and test without having it originate on your LinkedIn company page. So that's how we do all of our testing. And you can it's just all about making your content more relevant by sending personalized messages and then, you know, testing and retesting, which we do every week with a variety of content in real time to optimize performance.
Okay. So if I understand this correctly, it's I create a piece of content, but I don't want to publish that piece of content publicly directly to my company page yet. So mm-hmm. I'm able to go promote it and then receive some data and get it in front of some audiences that may not be connected to my company. They may not be following my company page.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's right. And we often find that we test around with organic stuff, and then we put paid behind whatever is doing best organically. So that's another strategy we have for our sponsored content. But the direct sponsored content for us is all about testing. Like you said before, like you can just change one thing in between two different images or between text, or we've done tests where we've thrown like five different images in there with like a different tagline to see, or with the same tagline rather, to see which image performs best. And then mm-hmm. from those results, we take the image that performed best and put a different tagline on each of the images it's just all about optimizing as you go.
Yeah, I like that. I like the method idea of testing and using organic and stuff that's working, that putting paid behind it right. once it's working.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've had a lot of questions. LinkedIn's a little bit expensive on the advertising side for small businesses. And so we've had some questions of people like, well, how do I stretch out my dollar on advertising?
That's it.
And
right.
there's one of your answers right there.
That's it.
You know, yeah. Get the content that's working, and then, you know, maximize your yield by putting some paid behind it. Do you have any tips for these showcase pages? Like different things people should be thinking about when approaching the showcase page? Like,
yeah. So I think
dump them all on in 1 week, or spread them out over time.
Well, it's interesting because the first question I always get asked when I go to conferences, or, you know, when I'm speaking to people about LinkedIn, is they're like, when's the best time to post on my showcase page or company page? And I love it because there's no silver bullet answer. Like, there's just not. I mean, the best way that you're going to find out the answer to that is to test with your audience. Every audience is different. And, you know, you just have to test it out for yourself and see. So that's the kind of the best answer to that. But some other tips that I have are to definitely use rich media. We've done a bunch of tests for using rich media, which means for us a 1200 by 627 pixel size image versus not. And all the rich media time and time again proves to have higher engagement, higher, you know, lead generation, all of that. So using rich media, I think, is really important, because I think that, you know, we're moving from a text-based communication style to one that's almost completely visual. And you can see that in the rise of video, and the fact that, you know, the play button is like the most compelling CTA button on the web. And so visual is definitely important. Secondly, I think keeping your updates short is great. For us, 150 characters or fewer works best. You only have a couple of seconds to, you know, entice your followers to click. So, you know, just tell them what they're about to learn. That's what I found. I mean, clickbait doesn't work. You have to tell them, you know, this is what you're about to learn in 150 characters or less. You can ask a question. You can get really specific. Like, we've tried testing, like, if it's a tech post, you know, like, hey, tech marketers, XYZ, you know, hey, brand marketers, XYZ, so that you're calling out your audience. Yeah.
Huh. I like the, and for those that aren't in this day in and day out, CTA is call to action.
On how, thanks for
calling. No worries. I'm with you. Sometimes I accidentally start dropping like acronyms and everything, and I have to remember that it may not be common language for non-nerds like myself. So it keeping things short and simple is important,
because
you have a brief amount of time. Testing out different call to actions and getting specific. So, like, we work in the legal profession, so I would say, hey, lawyers, instead of hey, everybody. And that mm-hmm. shows to be more effective than just the broader terms. What do you recommend for companies that are really broad, though? Like, what if they offer a wide variety of product services and whatnot?
Maybe they should create multiple showcase pages, though. We have our LinkedIn Marketing Solutions page, and we have not, for all of our regional teams, that's where all the content lives. So we have pretty defined targeting capabilities. So we use that when we have content from our regional teams. But our finance vertical started just pumping out so much awesome content that they created their own showcase page about, I think, like 6 months ago. And it's performing really, really well. So, I mean, it definitely can be done. I've seen it.
I like
work.
It. Do you get any data from showcase pages as a company? Like, if I put our services or products up there, what kind of data do I get back from LinkedIn?
Yeah, I mean, you can see, you know, the engagement rate, the impressions, you can see, you know, demographic data about your audience, all the stuff that's in the dashboard.
So, which is good, because then you can start to kind of understand, are you on message?
Yeah, right? So exactly.
If I look at my data and I go, oh, whoa, how come all of these people are looking at my stuff? Those aren't people I'm trying to reach. I've clearly messed up something in my messaging.
Yeah, exactly. It helps us kind of guide our content strategy. You know, what's working well? Who are audiences? What do they care about? Like, what are their pain points? You know, what are they thinking about every day? You know, it's all about trying to get into the head of our customers and really just providing useful, genuinely helpful content so that, you know, they can come to our showcase page and or our blog or our site or whatever, and, you know, we can solve their biggest problem of the day. That's what it's all about.
So can you walk me through a couple steps? Let's say that you are about to publish a new showcase page. What steps are you taking around that? So what things are you doing? Not like the go click here, write in your stuff. But like, are you producing, right, like you need graphics? Are you producing other posts somewhere else? Are you preparing other ads? Are you advertising on Facebook? Are there other things going on outside of just the dynamics of creating the showcase page? Like that you do, like if you were doing this.
Yeah, if I was setting up a showcase page, you know, from scratch, I think a lot of marketers get a little bit overwhelmed because they think, you know, like, oh, I have to put my content everywhere and I don't have enough content or whatever. And so, I mean, I always recommend going to your company site, because I think there's content opportunities everywhere, and you probably have a lot more than you think just on your website. The other thing that I would say is that not all of posts need a link. I mean, oftentimes we obviously link to our ebooks or a blog or whatever, and like as a general rule, we encourage marketers to use links in their updates. In fact, I mean, we found that links tend to see, I think, 45% higher engagement than those without, but we've also seen great success. Recently, we've been testing with posts without a link. And if you use them sparingly, they'll stand out. So if it's like a serial thing, like Motivational Monday, or if you're at like a conference and you gather like the top quotes from industry thought leaders and you start pushing those across all your social channels. But yeah, I mean, when we first started out with our page, we'd post like 1 to 2 times a day. Now it's 3 to 4 times a day. But I think, you know, when you're starting out, it's important to delegate. So making sure that you have someone or a group of people dedicated to it, and that you're following brand guidelines, and that, you know, you're looking beyond your team to source content. So looking at like your different regions and verticals, and then next step from there is building an editorial calendar, you know, based on your objectives.
Which I want to remind the audience, we have talked about all of these things. So go back and catch those episodes if you missed the editorial calendar stuff, if you missed like all of those components that were just kind of rattled off there are essential. That is just good marketing. That's just being a good marketer. That's what a marketer does these days. So do try to go back and catch some of those other episodes to talk about it. So Alex, you do a lot of writing. And you are really, I think, have become good at creating content. Do you have any tips or strategies for people on like how they can improve their content creation?
Yeah, for our team, we have these amazing what we call spitballing sessions, where we just like get together every Friday, and it's kind of like a think tank where any idea can fly. And I think that a lot of times people are like scared to put out their idea because it might be ridiculous or they think it's stupid or whatever. But we just have these spitballing sessions where we just say like the most outlandish things. And some of our best ideas have come out of them. I mean, maybe it's not like the whole part of it wasn't great, but so my colleague Jason Miller, he used to lead our team, and then he recently left for now he leads up the EMEA team. He went to go build the content engine that he built here over there for the EMEA team. But we would sit in the spitball sessions and I'd say the most ridiculous thing, and he'd be like, you know what? I don't hate it. And I was like,
I love that idea though. That is a great idea.
If you don't have a team of people, I do this with, so I've done this with friends before, where like we'll be sitting around and kind of like onion style joking around about different types of things. And then sometimes you'll stumble on something and you go, wait a minute, I can see a reference where this could be tied into something, and then just jot it down. And I always like to keep a notebook with me so I can write down these sorts of ideas and pen them down and go revisit them later, you know, which is a technique we've talked about before for content side of the fence, content creation. Mm-hmm. We have had an argument on this show before about a question that I'm hoping you know the actual answer to, and you may not, which is okay. For LinkedIn Pulse posts, is there any difference between a duplicate, exact duplicate match post from a blog being copied and pasted to a LinkedIn Pulse versus natively organic post made and created just in LinkedIn that's not posted anywhere else?
You mean in terms of like
visibility
it being picked
within
up
LinkedIn?
And shared by the post?
Yeah.
I don't, that's an interesting question. I do not know the answer to that.
Because a lot of people want to copy and paste. Like they want to copy because they already wrote
it. And they do.
They do all the time.
Yeah, it's,
and I don't think that's getting as much visibility within the LinkedIn algorithm.
Yeah. I don't know like the definitive answer to that, but I would have to lean towards that LinkedIn's algorithm favors your original content.
Okay. Well, so we won't take that as concrete. But we will take that as an I think. I like that.
I will do some investigative research.
Oh my gosh, if you could, that'd be amazing. That'd be awesome. We would really appreciate that. I have one last question that I always like to ask. And I just love getting people's responses to this question.
Very excited about this, actually.
If you were sitting at a table having coffee across from an advanced LinkedIn user, someone who is really heavy into LinkedIn and has been using it for years, what tips or advice would you give them?
Really advanced. I think that I would tell them to make sure that they definitely have a good mix of all different types of campaigns. I mean, I think a lot of really sophisticated LinkedIn marketers are in it for the lead gen, which makes sense. I think like 80% of B2B leads come from LinkedIn. But something that we've been talking about for a long time and that we're starting more and more to implement is that we were running other campaigns that are centered around brand awareness or thought leadership. And like, it might be a little bit more difficult to measure. But I think those things are just as important.
So don't forget to include some of the softer right angle stuff. So brand building and awareness, maybe just, you know, PSA announcement for your community, maybe just a thought leadership piece that doesn't have a call to action or isn't really anchored towards hire us. In the mix of your broader content and marketing strategy. Did I get that right?
Yeah. And I think also a lot of marketers are, you know, we're all busy in marketing, but it's like, are we busy doing the right things? And I think that that's where like the data and the personalization comes in. So the more that you can test and, even just like repurposing the content that you already have, I think all those things are really important.
Awesome.
Love
Alex,
it.
That is, you are, well, I'd keep you here for 3 hours, but that wouldn't be very nice since, as mentioned, there is probably a happy hour happening somewhere in the globe that we may want to get to. So I do want to just thank you for your time and really do appreciate you coming on here and being, you know, one of our guests on the show and helping the community here learn more about some of the effective nature. For those of you that just listened to this episode, I'm going to encourage you to go back and re-listen to the episode and take note of the quick tidbits of data that Alex spread. I mean, it was you were peppering data points in the middle of like half sentences, in the middle of words almost. There was like little data points coming in. And I was like, oh my gosh, wait, what was that? She just said, okay, 80% of these, 45% more of my status updates get clicked if I put a link in there. And I was like trying to memorize all of the tidbits. And so I'm encouraging you, if you feel like, oh, that was really useful, and which is great. I'm telling you, you probably missed about 5 or 6 nuggets of really good things that were just, No, but that's so important. And don't forget, everyone listening, that this is someone who has access to the data. So we want to pay special attention to understanding when someone says, oh, I actually know these are the good things to go do. You don't argue. You don't reinvent the wheel. Just go do it, which is amazing. And Alex, you've been fantastic. Thank you so much for your time and joining us here today. This is our episode of The Missing Link. We'll keep up with Alex and find out when that ebook comes out and make sure that y'all get a chance to take a look on Amazon or wherever it's going to be, LinkedIn, to go and grab that. So thank you for your time. And again, next week, big announcement. My name is Jabez LeBret. Thank you, Micah. And thank you, Alex. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you for listening to The Missing Link. Tune in next week as we continue the discussion to improve your marketing on LinkedIn.